You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope that you've had a great week. I want to make sure that you get tickets to my live show. Listen, I don't get out much. I've got five kids. I've got two upcoming shows, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. East Coasters, come see me at the City Winery in New York City on November 20th. You can get tickets at citywinery.com/NYC. My Los Angeles show, you can go to improv.com to get tickets. It's December 3rd. Don't miss out. This week, two Real Housewives episodes that I'm still unpacking. It was the second part of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. I was disappointed that Kathy Hilton doesn't show up on set until 58 minutes into part two. So basically, we've got one episode to kind of unpack what happened at the end of the season. I have empathy for Kyle because she's on the show with her sister. They clearly have decades and decades of issues. Kathy had a meltdown for whatever reason. She had a moment where she confided in Lisa Rinna, and it seems like Lisa Rinna has used that as an opportunity to not only create some storyline on the show, but maybe in some ways weaponize it. Because here we have Kyle crying, and she's like, nothing good is going to come out of me hearing what awful things my sister said about me. And while she probably was glad that some of them got to see a side of her sister that she has been dealing with for decades, I don't know. I agree with her. Like, this is going to do nothing to help me personally or for my relationship with my sister. So I had a lot of empathy for her in that scene. I have a lot of empathy for Garcelle, who gets so frustrated because she's trying for everybody to understand how devastating the bots this season have been for her family. She has twin sons that are 14 years old, and one of them received the most hellacious messages, private messages, and comments on his social media. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I can't even imagine what that must be like for her. Also, she's on a show where sometimes it seems like it's like 4-5 against 2. When you have a show like this and certain cast members have been on the show for many seasons, they almost build an alliance much like Survivor. And if you want to feel like your voice is heard, it can often be difficult when other people have such a deep alliance that they squelched your voice. So it was painful to watch. I really commend all of them for cracking their lives open in this current climate, because I'm assuming that the social media part of this job is overwhelming. And I'm thinking that maybe they should all just kind of take a break from the show for a little bit so that they all feel happy about being on the show again, because you can see how wearing it could be with all that has happened in the last season. I will lastly say, I don't think Diana should be asked back, and it doesn't seem like she will. And then you have Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You've got Jen, who is facing some real prison time. And we know now that towards the end of the season, she pleads guilty. But in the beginning of the season, she's still saying that she's not guilty of any crimes. And you have Heather, who is such a loyal friend to her. And at times, as a viewer, you're like, how could you be so loyal to her? In the meantime, Heather's close friend, Whitney, is in the midst of a journey to figure out what happened in her own childhood. She has said, I've blocked out many years. Clearly something happened. And she has a relative that's been going through therapy and has suggested that she was an abuse survivor. So at times you almost feel voyeuristic. Like this is somebody who's in the beginning of a long journey through therapy. And I feel badly for her because she wants her voice to be heard, but Heather is so preoccupied by Jen. And she's not like she's the most empathetic character. So we know all of these crimes that she's committed. She pleads guilty later in the season. But she's making comments about how her lawyer doesn't want her to get Botox anymore. And you're just like, when is this woman going to take this seriously? So in this last episode, they're in Arizona on a vacation because of the travel limitations. She can't go that far. And you just see the fractures in all of their friendships. And I just wonder, once Jen goes away to prison, how the show is going to change. I think they're going to need to add some new characters because it just feels like Jen sucks the life out of the show. So, two Real Housewives this week. This episode, I interview my friend Chris DeRosa, who is a reality TV producer. He's just so great breaking down shows and what works and what doesn't. The last time he was on, we reviewed Selling the OC, which was a big hit, especially with the cast, who didn't seem to mind the investigation into whether or not their real estate license had expired and how many homes they've sold. In fact, Alex Hall was kind enough to send me an update on her real estate license. She showed me a screenshot. Rest assured, it is no longer expired and she has every intention of selling multi-million dollar homes for years to come. So I appreciated their sense of humor covering their show. So that's also a great show you can watch on Netflix, Selling the OC. I am telling you, you're going to like Buying Beverly Hills too, which is Mauricio Umansky, so Kyle Richards' husband's show with his two daughters. It's a great workplace show. I think you're going to like that as well. This episode, again, is about Love is Blind 3. It's the third season of this very clever show. And Chris DeRosa is so funny. And I had a great time recapping it with him. So here we go with Chris DeRosa and Love is Blind. Listen, I don't know where you are in your comfortable clothes journey, but I am going to change your life. You need to be wearing Vuori. You're going to do a lot of things this fall, hiking, running, lounging, and watching my must-watch list. And you need to feel nothing but joy and comfort. The minute I was gifted with a black pair of Vuori performance joggers, my life, it was forever changed. Never had I enjoyed such comfort while working out or on the go. Listen, I love Vuori so much, I'm now converting all of my friends and family too. My husband cannot imagine sleeping again without a Vuori men's ponto short. My sister is now fully embracing the daily legging and the energy top. Her boxing trainer now wears Vuori shorts. Her hairdresser, Vanessa, is now wearing Vuori performance joggers. We all love Vuori, and let me tell you something, you will too. So go now to Vuori.com/Kate. That's Vuori.com/Kate to get 20% off your first order. That's Vuori.com/Kate to get 20% off your first order. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Welcome back to the show.
Okay, so that was a big, huge exhale to just know that Alex Hall is still selling real estate.
I know, right?
That was great. I'm glad that you got... I mean, I did say, like, can we get to her? Like, can we find this out? And you did.
And you did say, protect Polly at all costs. Yeah. Did she respond to you as well?
She followed me.
Good.
She's great. We message. She's great.
Okay,
she's
good. Well, this show, Love is Blind, is a little bit of a wacky show. Were you already familiar with this, the structure of this show?
Oh, I'm so familiar. I don't really watch a lot of dating shows. I love this show.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm not a Bachelor person. I don't watch Love Island or like those like ones where they're all stuck together really. But this one is like must see TV for me. I love Love is Blind. Love it.
So for those that are unfamiliar with the show, singles who want to be loved for who they are rather than what they look like have signed up for a less conventional approach to modern dating. And this time it's in Dallas, Texas, where they hope to meet the person they want to spend the rest of their lives with, without ever having seen them. With no distractions from the outside world, the singles talk to a stream of potential love interests, and when a meaningful connection is made, they propose and then lay their eyes on their fiancé for the first time. Engaged and back in the real world, as the couples plan their wedding day, they will quickly discover whether they can turn their emotional connection into a physical one before the fast-moving ceremony. Now, this show is hosted by Nick and Vanessa Lachey, and this is a 12-episode series that uncovers whether looks, race, or age do matter, or if love is really blind. The first 4 episodes are now available on Netflix. Okay, first question I have to ask you is about the concept of whether or not you could meet somebody through a wall and fall deeply in love.
I love this concept because it literally, there's no show like it, one.
Right.
Two, it kind of does mirror like online dating in the sense that you're talking to someone that you don't see and isn't there for like, but for a long time before you meet each other. And I also love like they're forced to drop all of the like preconceived notions they would have for this person based on their looks. Mm. And versus just like, not just like, oh, are they my type or are they not my type? But like, are they tall? Are they strong? What are their mannerisms like? Do they command a room? Do they not? Are they shy? Like, you know what I mean? Like there's like you meet someone mm-hmm. and you immediately like pick up on their energy and like that's gone. And I think that's so fascinating. Whereas like how many other dating shows are literally like, everyone's really hot and they're all in a house together. Who's gonna fuck? You know what I mean? Like that's not what this is like at all. And I love that.
It's almost like a speed round of life values and interests.
Yes, which I really like. Like mm-hmm. I think about like if I was doing this, like would I be good at it or would I not? And I don't know. You know what I mean? I think about yeah. like, wow, versus like going on like Bachelor in Paradise, I'd be like, would I be good at this? Like probably, you know what I mean? It's so different and it's not something that you can compare it to anything else.
It's almost like The Bachelor, but if you eliminated rose ceremonies, group dates and making out. So yeah, basically nothing like
basically
it.
The whole show. Yeah.
Now let's talk about Dallas, Texas, because I did send a few texts out I did ask a couple people via DM who live in Dallas, Texas, like, give me the scoop. What is it like to date there? The feedback
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess first?
Yeah, no, please do. Yeah.
I feel like it's like a singles city. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that are younger, like 20, early, like mid to late 20s dating.
Okay.
Okay, you tell me.
Well, they did say that there's a lot of pressure there. They call it the land of 35,000-aires. It's people who don't make a lot of money but want to project as though they're very wealthy. So there's a lot of pressure in the dating scene to keep up. There's also this struggle to meet someone if you're not connected to a church. Like, one friend said, well, my one friend's Catholic, but joined a Baptist church because there were more dating opportunities. So that's interesting. The heavy thing is, like, you want to present yourself as somebody who's really wealthy. But the caveat, and what I enjoy about this, is that they say in Dallas that men are true gentlemen. So they're driving a fancy car that they can't afford, but they will open the door for you and treat you very well.
I did not expect this at all.
Here's the thing about this show is that they put out the cast bios, which I think are great because it gives you kind of a look into who they are. Now, when they sign up from the show, presumably it's like other shows where they are, you know, around the 26 to 28 age range. And they say things like, I've tried everything and I can't find anyone, which I always find hilarious, as if they've walked the world and can't find anyone.
But as you're saying, there's a lot of pressure. And I think because they're in the South, I filmed a lot in Texas, especially in Dallas last year. And even my sister lives in Virginia Beach, where you still live in Virginia Beach?
I sure did.
Yeah. They come up to my sister in Virginia and be like, how many kids do you have? And she just got married 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? And she's zero. Because multiple guys on this season are like, oh, I've already been divorced. And they're 26. True. You know what I mean? So it's I think they're getting married early there. Us in our, you know what I mean? Not like New York City where you're 45 and no one's blinking an eye that you're not married, you know?
Right. And you have your first baby at 48.
Yeah.
Let's walk through some of these bios. Okay. Alexa is 27-year-old insurance company owner. She's interesting because she's Israeli. And as we will see in the episode, she chooses somebody who is from the country and is just a cowboy. I would have never seen that on paper. I would have never expected that. But perhaps that's the beauty of this experiment, is that you are disallowing yourself to come up with reasons not to choose somebody.
Okay, Casey, that's the show. This cowboy and this Jewish princess are coming together.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's fun. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
And you get your little, I would have, multiple people, as we went through the show, multiple people were I would have never approached you in a bar. I would have never been talking to you at a bar. And I think that's what I like about the show, is because it shows you this person that you didn't really think you would ever be attracted to is actually mentally someone you're really, really stimulated by.
Do you want to hear that from somebody though? Wow. If I had ever seen you in a bar, I would have never talked to you. Information that's helpful? No, I don't think so.
No, but I think in their position that it makes sense to them. I get if you're someone's not your type, you know what I mean? If you're oh, I usually go for this. Plus these people are in their 20s. They
True.
They're making out at bars.
Bartice is 27. He's a senior analyst who loves laughter and is looking for someone who can take all of his jokes and even crack some back at him. The fact that he wrote "who loves laughter," that reminds me of when people die and someone will say, well, they always loved life, as if we all don't love life.
Yeah,
right?
Wait, that's so funny.
I never understand that. I'm like, okay. You're like,
yes. Yeah.
She always,
that's so funny. Wait, did they write these themselves though? Or did I would, if I was on this show, working on it, I would have written these.
Oh, possibly. But they have to give them input. I mean, they have to sit down and interview. But I always think that it's the small things that say the big things. So these small little details are going to say a lot. Brennan is a 32-year-old water treatment engineer. He's outspoken and is looking for someone with a take charge personality. He also hopes to find an authentic partner who wants to share their culture and values with him. Brennan, by the way, is the cowboy. I was surprised that Brennan said he was a water treatment engineer because that is so specific. Sometimes I think people are better off if there's a little mystery. So you say, Brennan is a 32-year-old...
engineer.
engineer, right. The water treatment engineer. So it almost makes him seem rigid. Could I be looking into this too much?
And then he says
he wants someone with a take charge personality. So does that mean he's an introvert who is not adventurous, who prefers someone who does everything for him?
He might be really in charge at work and doesn't want to also be in charge at home.
Okay, good point. I understand that. Okay. Cole is 27. He's a realtor who describes himself as crazy and weird and promises to bring entertainment to a relationship. His biggest pet peeve is being a bad driver, and he's looking for a loyal and encouraging woman who lives in faith with God. This one was a doozy for me. I just thought, I don't know where to go with this one. He sells homes. He describes himself as crazy and weird. What is the benefit of saying that about yourself? Promises to bring entertainment to a relationship. That to me means I probably am going to cheat on you. His biggest pet peeve is that he's a bad driver. Again, not something I would want to volunteer up front. And that he's looking for a loyal and encouraging woman who lives in faith with God.
This all tracks though. When you watch the show, he brings entertainment to the relationship. He's always doing like weird voices and like yelling and like being like, oh, we're waking up together. Like mm-hmm. He always does like a weird voice. He absolutely is a bad driver. I could see him just totaling a car like every month because he's like doing an impression of something and then like literally does a fender bender. He sells real estate standard. And then think about, wait, what was the other thing that he said? Oh, and he loves God. Yeah, that was like, they were talking about religion a lot in that one. And he's already been married. I thought he's having a conversation with someone and he's like, I really want to like get married right away. And I was like, that's weird because you seem like you're ready to like fuck. And like, correct. You're ready to like, just like hang out and like be silly. But then he was like, I've already been married before and divorced. And I was like, oh, I bet you he's religious. Mm. And then he was like, and I really love God. And I was like, yep, there it is right there. Because he wanted to like get married so he could.
Concept. So we could have sex. You know. I would like to know the specific denomination of the religion because I do feel like his description is all about nothing. It's just like a word salad.
But it also describes him, which is like
a slam
in itself, but.
That's true. Well, Colleen's 26. She's a ballet dancer and a digital PR strategist who believes that she'll get an instant feeling when she meets the one. Her longest relationship was close to 5 years and hopes the experiment will remove the daily distractions that get in the way of love. This is an honest question. Are you still a ballet dancer at 26? Was it like she was a successful ballerina when she was 20 and she's still living on a prayer? So
I would say that.
Yeah. So she brings that up all the time, even though she's been working in digital PR for about 5 years. I am a ballerina. And then the coworkers are like, yeah, but you work with us at the...
Yeah, but like, they're like, you're in an office.
Right. Exactly. Okay. 36-year-old Lauren is a medical device representative who enjoys hiking, traveling, doing yoga, and playing her music so loud. She says the keys to her heart are vulnerability, adventure, and pancakes. She's 36. Is she too old for this show?
I want to say no, because I feel like in other seasons, there were definitely people that were like her age. But in this crowd, she's like a dinosaur compared
correct.
To like... And mm-hmm. that's no shade. Like, she like is like... They're all like so young and just like very, like a lot of them are like 25.
True. Matt is 28. He's a private charter sales executive, loves golf, is a self-described morning person, previously in a 10-year relationship and says he's looking for someone to break down his walls and allow him to open back up. This is why I'm worried about him. He's 28. He was in a relationship since he was 18.
Yeah.
And he's looking for someone to break down his walls. That's a lot for someone to do. That's a job no one wants.
This is the guy that like went to, like he was like, we got married like right out of high school and have been together mm-hmm. for like up until basically now. Yeah, that's hard.
Right. And then once he proposes to the girl and he sees the curtain lift, he was pretty aggressive with her. It was as if he hadn't made out with someone since he was 18.
That's the thing is like yeah.
It was like somebody who just left prison and wanted to have sex in the car, like they do on Love After Lockup.
And I think, yes, oh my God, don't even get me started on that. I like rewind that like that million times when they like attack each other physically, like while they're driving. And like, it's like X-rated. I like, it's my favorite thing ever. Yeah, I think that he seemingly is like, has a lot together in like the like work world. Like he seems like a stable person. I just think he's very like probably maybe immature like when it comes to love. But the person he picks also is. So, you know, there's a lid for every pot.
You've never said anything more honestly. Okay, Nancy, there are two more. Nancy is 29.
Oh, Nancy.
No, okay, excuse me. Nancy's 32. She's a real estate investor. Do we believe that? I don't. Who says that her number one priority is a relationship that ensures that she and her partner can be kind and genuine to each other. She's looking for someone who's spontaneous and ready to jump into an adventure. She is the one who talks nonstop about how she wants to have children as soon as possible.
And 10 of them.
And 10 of them. I wondered, even though you don't necessarily date women, do you find that to be a little bit off-putting?
Not if the other... some of the guys were like, really? Oh my God, yay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some of them were like, great. And so like, I mean, gotta remember Dallas, we're in Texas. Like,
true.
You know what I mean? Like, we're in God's country. And so like, I feel like if for the right person, that's a huge plus. And like, I like that she's like very upfront about it rather than like you find out after you get engaged to her that she's like, I want 10 kids.
Right. Well,
correct or right?
She ends up choosing someone, and this is what I do love about the show. She ends up choosing someone who's super fit, and she's not super fit. And his backup was a girl who's a Pilates instructor. And what I like about this show is after they make these decisions and they film it in such a beautiful way that you, for a moment, really believe those two people who just got engaged, who had never seen each other's faces, could make it work. And then once they are all reintroduced to one another at a Malibu location, like a beautiful home, they get to see who everybody else chose and what those people look like. So the Pilates instructor, who was almost with the guy that Nancy chose, looks at him in disbelief. Like, we spent all this time in the pods talking about stomach crunches and arm workouts, and that's who you chose. And that felt so much like when we see our friends from college and it's like the guy or the girl that you hooked up with in college and you see who they married or who they're dating now and you're like, really? All that I know about you, that's who you chose.
Well, one, when the girl, what was the girl's name that was the Pilates instructor?
Raven.
Raven. Oh my, how could I forget? When Raven was doing jumping jacks while the guy was telling the story, like basically the worst thing that ever happened to him in his entire life, that like his family was exploded by like this person that came and like revealed to be like the ex of his mom. Like a devastating story. She's literally doing jumping jacks and goes, yeah, that's really sad.
Right.
I was like, you are a monster.
She's a monster.
A monster. Shayna looks like Mother Teresa compared to you.
Also, a
full monster.
I don't know if I trust someone. And this is someone who is a mother who does drop her kids off at school, who loves a Vuori jogger. I feel like the Pilates instructor doesn't have to be in a Pilates uniform every day of the week.
She's never not doing it. They're on it. He was saying like my mom, blah, blah, blah. And she's doing like hip thrusts like towards the wall.
Right.
And then whenever like it cuts to the girls at the like what I call like the Wayfair dungeon. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like they're like living room that's not real. And they like are doing Pilates then. Like she's leading the class of the women. And then when she's with her guy later, she's the first thing they do together on camera is do Pilates with those little rings.
That's right. And I did wonder in that moment, does he just want to go somewhere and do shots of whiskey and just eat like a Subway sandwich? Or does she make him feel like every moment of their life has to be spent eating or drinking matcha?
She's like ready to do a workout at any moment. Again, like we've seen, like as we've seen, you know what I mean? Like this is not like, I'm not guessing. This isn't a guess. This is a cold hard fact. Like she's ready to do a crunch. She's ready to get her blood pressure up, like while dealing with trauma. like other people's trauma. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's ready to go. So she needs to be dressed to be ready to go at all times.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Now, Cole, who we've mentioned before, who loves God, but also is a terrible driver and just likes to have fun, is a crazy personality and also sells homes. He chose someone who did not seem to be a good fit for him. She's a little bit of a snob. Her name is Zainab. And she said that, oh, by the way, she's also a realtor. So maybe that's why they're together, is that they want to start a real estate company. She says...
Yeah, they're angling to get on Magnolia Network. Yeah.
Absolutely. She says that she's really picky and she's searching for a partner she can love forever. She is picky, but there is a part of her that I related to, is that after they got engaged, they are at a pool. And she is in the water with him, but she refuses to get her hair wet. And he's like, really? You're not just going to like dunk your head in? And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's because she has thick hair and she is on camera and does not want to destroy it. I know that I feel that deeply. I don't like to get my hair wet either. You have filmed so many of these reality shows. How many women on reality shows live in fear that they're going to be forced to be in a bathing suit near a pool and therefore will ruin a blowout?
A lot, but however, then you get a lot, I guess. The answer is a lot. Yeah. And it's hard. And listen, you can't like these people on these shows, like they're getting like hair and makeup. So then they're like, oh, I've spent money on this. I can't ruin the blowout. Like it's a financial disaster as well. You know what I mean? Cause they're like, right. I got to let this go for 2 more days. Cause I don't want to pay to get a blowout every day that we're here filming.
Do you think some Real Housewives sleep in their makeup with their 100%. Heads on a pillow without any movement to destroy their makeup?
Tinsley Mortimer will tell you herself that she brings her own pillow to all of the... If you watch the... Go back into Tinsley seasons, she brings her own European, like the big square pillows.
Yeah.
Like she brings her own monogrammed pillow and lays on it. And she literally has told me that she lays on it like facing upwards and will sleep like a dead person in a casket, like literally to not ruin her hair or makeup.
But her hair, she would always do ringlets. When she changed it from ringlets to having straight hair, was that a crisis of identity?
No, because it's easy.
Got it.
She cut her hair real short. It's anyone can straighten her hair. You know what I mean? You can straighten your own hair.
No, I can't. Are you kidding me? No. If you were to have been on the show years ago when this show was created and you were given the opportunity to tell the producer who was going to write your bio up or write it up for yourself, what would you have written to tell the viewing audience a little bit about who you are and what you're looking for? With the caveat that unlike other reality shows where they add a bunch of bullshit that's not true, and much like people who are in dating apps like myself who was on Match.com and completely lied in my bio, like I said stuff like I like to travel and cook, it was total bullshit. What is the most honest description you could have written about yourself if you were to have been a contestant on this show?
Well, since I actually legitimately write these professionally, I really do. So I wrote this as myself at 28, like the last time that I was single.
Okay.
Basically.
Good.
So if I was single at 28, like dating around, this is what it would say.
Okay.
Chris, 28, is a television producer who wants to join Love is Blind so he can date without people assuming things based on his looks. Mm. People, quote, people meet me and think I'm ready to party all night, but I'm really just an extroverted homebody. End quote. He's been single for most of his life and wants to get to know someone on a deeper level than going on a slew of expensive dates trying to impress each other. Mm. Quote, you can have the best outfit, the best muscles, and eat at the best restaurants, but that doesn't make you the best person. End quote. His favorite kinds of dates are finding amazing food in New York City's many hidden gems, taking a walk in the snow, or Ooh. Cuddling up on the couch with takeout and a good movie.
Ooh, I like taking a walk in the snow. Specific, romantic.
Yeah, right.
I like the part, people meet me and think I'm ready to party, but I'm really just an extroverted homebody.
Kate, tell everyone what I'm wearing right now.
A flannel pajamas at 8
yep.
p.m.
yep.
Well, here's what I would have written, because I look back all the time and think about what I wrote on Match.com to get Dan to be interested in me and how much it was probably a bag of bullshit. So this is me at Love is Blind at age 25. Okay, ready? Kate, 25, is in media relationship. Hello. Kate is 25 in media relations while harboring a secret dream of being on Saturday Night Live. She has a hard time walking away from strangers who like to tell her about their UFO sightings, horrible family members, and history of crime. She believes the right guy works on Wall Street, wears khakis and a baseball hat, and does not expect her to be affectionate often. Her favorite kinds of dates are karaoke, where you admire her on stage, restaurants with gluten-free food, and watching hours of documentaries while Googling people. She's been single because the last date she went on Match.com ended up being someone who grew up in a sex cult. She's hoping to meet someone whose family accepts her since she has not seen her dad since she was 3.
I think that's a great bio.
I'm sure I would get a bunch of fellas.
You would be cast on the show in 5 seconds. Haven't seen her dad since she was 3 is like reality television.
Oh, do you think? Oh, is
goal.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, so is that what they're looking for? They're looking for someone with daddy issues, a strange family, could be reunited on a spinoff.
You're pain, like, you don't say.
Pain in the ass with the gluten-free food. Thinks that she should be with somebody on Wall Street, but then I would probably end up with the cowboy in Kansas, right?
Yeah. You never know.
You never know.
That's what the show does, Kate.
Bringing down walls. Well, here's the great thing is that this show is in 4 tranches. There are 12 episodes. So the first 4 are available this week, next week 4, and then as you go, you know, 4 more.
Which I like. That's so
fun. I do too. Culminating with a finale and then a cast reunion, which is always fun. How important are the hosts to this show?
They're non-existent. They don't even need to be there. The fact that they exist on the show is a joke. And you know how you can tell that the people on the people making the show hate them? Do you remember the last reunion?
Yes.
With the other people? The lighting that they put on Vanessa Lachey was criminal.
Abysmal.
It was punishable by law. It was so bad. They made her look like a piece of shit. And I was like, what did she do to piss them off? Because
I know,
she
what could she have done?
God awful.
Awful.
Meanwhile, like in the news in this season, like she looks great. Like she looks beautiful. I'm like, oh no,
so
she's
she
like
made
still
up.
Beautiful. Yeah. But they lit her like garbage.
So she made up with that person or that person was fired. What was more likely?
Probably they were fired because they were like, what is this? Meanwhile, like what was Shane's girlfriend's name?
Natalie.
Natalie looked stunning. Like the best lighting I've ever seen. Like, you know what I mean? Like the
lighting was
amazing. Then you go to that two shot of the two of them. Vanessa Lachey looked like she got hit by a bus.
Do you ever witness that on other reality shows, that there are certain characters that are not lit from heaven?
No, because I don't do... No, because I would be like, this lighting is horrible. We need to change this.
Okay, interesting.
Like, I would be like, why do they look like this? Like, I know what they look like. Like, this is bad. Like, this
right. Is bad. Have you ever experienced a fight on a reality show, because you work on so many of them, that the people fight and then as soon as the cameras are finished filming, they talk like it was a Tuesday at a deli?
It depends on the severity of the argument.
Interesting.
There are ones that are like, all right, like, we still have to be in each other. Like, on these shows, these people still have to be, these are their coworkers. They right. still have to exist in the same vacuum. Look at Potomac right now. They're all like, mm-hmm. I hate you, but like, we're both here. Like, we're gonna still be here the whole season, each other. Like, that's what this is. So, but like, when it goes to a level that you like, obviously can differentiate from other just like petty arguments.
Yeah.
When it gets into like screaming and like really bad, then it's like, they're like, no, they like really separate.
And as the crew members, do you ever film a scene, but you're in the background on your phones like, let's Google this. This doesn't make any sense. Like someone sitting at a table and talking about their many businesses, or they're talking about an ex and you're like, oh my God, let's look at what the ex did or what they look like, or when did that divorce happen? Or does this guy's job really exist? All of those things.
Yes, but also like a lot of the beginning of the season is like finding these things out, especially with like a new person that we don't know as well. We Google, like we ask them a million questions in interviews to find out all this information so we don't have to question it.
And who is tasked with that responsibility of researching and asking all the questions? Because I think there are a lot of people that are listening to this asking themselves, where have I gone wrong with my career trajectory and how do I get that job?
Casting is where it starts. Mm. Then they'll like, you know, once a person is kind of casted, they'll then get passed to like the producing team, like my team. Mm. And then we go over it a million times with them. And then it, yeah.
Do you ever have to say to the person, I just need you to know that that story makes absolute no sense. So you got to be real with me now because people will rip you apart later.
Yes. In the sense of like, okay, like make this make sense to me because I don't get it.
Right. What are your last thoughts about Love is Blind 3?
Is it Alexa? Her lip injections upset me.
Yes.
I think she's so pretty, but like that side shot of her waiting for the doors to open right. for her to see her husband was bad.
Right.
Bartice, I was like obviously mesmerized by. He's beautiful. Absolutely stunning. And I'm like, okay, he's 25. He's gorgeous. He could get any woman he wants. And he's so nice. Like, wait, how is this possible?
Right.
And then I think the part about the show that I really like is that you do this isolated dating and then you're thrown back into the real world.
Into the wild.
Where he then sees, oh, wait, the girl that's the Pilates instructor that's like the 10 and I'm the male 10, we should be together, but I denied her. So then he starts spinning out of control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is endlessly fascinating to me because I was waiting for the mm-hmm. Everyone's other shoe dropped for a second. You yep. know what I mean? Like you saw everyone else's shoe drop and I'm like, when is the other shoe going to drop for him? And it's the final scene of the fourth episode and it was great.
And also I think he's like, Nancy wants to have kids, but she's 32 and I'm 25 and I am now a television star and I want to ride this wave as long as I can.
As yes.
Right.
But I was blown away by how beautiful he was, but I was like, this isn't possible. I was like, there's no way this is possible. And now I'm like, okay, here we go.
Right. Well, it was that or he murdered somebody and we're just waiting to hear the findings.
No, I think he's like used to like going. And what's her name? Raven.
Raven.
She gets flued out every day. She's getting flued out all over the place. You know that men are throwing money at her to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her fake out of like, I'm a stripper, but I'm actually just like a bartender. That was great. Love that.
And you know somebody who worked on the show. And didn't you say that they thought it was a great time?
So a producer I work with, Morgan Harris, she was the co-EP of the show this season. Congratulations to her. Hats off. I need to text her.
Yes.
But when I was in Dallas last year shooting a Food Network show, one of our PAs that was a local to Dallas was like, oh, we just filmed Love is Blind season 3. And I was like, what? This is before season 2 had come out. Like,
oh,
and I was like, what?
Right.
Like, tell me everything. I need to know everything. And he was like, I don't really know that much because I was outside, I was driving, but like the producers like were over the moon with how great it was.
Ooh.
So like, we've got a show on our hands, people.
So good. And we need it. We need it in these dark times.
We do. Yes, we really do. And the preview for like this season on, it looks electrifying.
Electrifying.
Wait. Oh my God. How did we hate Casey? If you cut this, I will literally come to your house and murder you. How have we not talked about Andrew in the interview chair, putting the eye drops in his eyes on purpose to look like he was crying that Nancy rejected him?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
A monster.
I am so, and then he's in that thing. It's like, I could be with you and give you like tantric orgasms. I'm so ready for him to slip back into the picture. And I can't wait for like the public to absolutely devour
eviscerate him.
Evisceration of like at a level that we've never seen before. That Kathy Hilton wishes she could deliver to someone. Oh my God. And I love that they kept putting it in.
Do you think people will hate him more or Shake from last season?
Him. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But that was diabolical.
But not surprising. Okay. But surprising. But
not surprising at all. Whenever he was talking about tantric sex or whatever, I was like, that's not someone you marry.
No.
That's someone you go to Bali with and do like mushrooms for 3 weeks and just like get railed. And then you're like done. And then off to then you never speak again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I thought he gave me that vibes of, oh, what's that movie where he kills all those people, the serial killer in the 80s? Oh, Jesus Christ, I forget it.
American Psycho.
He gave me Patrick Bates or whatever. Yes. Patrick Bateman. He gave me American Psycho vibes for sure.
When he had that vest with the short sleeve shirt.
I just kept thinking, is this a for real act? Like, does he want to be like an Omarosa and just be the standout star? Yeah. Is he that savvy or is he actually like a horrible human being?
No, I think he's savvy, but because whenever this is how you know that he's really savvy. When he was on his knee and she was like, and he was proposing to her, and then she was like, I really want to do this. And then she goes, but, and he knew it was going to be a no. He for a second was really upset. And then what he did, the way that he got up from the ground and like slithered onto the couch, like all real smooth, like, and then just like crossed his leg and just sat there like, I was like, oh my God, this is a sociopath. Like, I was like, this is, like, rewatch that scene and you will be horrified.
And then he's probably watching the scenes of her, you know, post engagement with Bartice, you know, in his room, which is probably covered in white, right? With just like one purple lamp in the corner, right? And just like gnawing on his his fingernails or his toenails, maybe.
Oh, I love it. I could talk to you for 9 million more years about it. I love it.
I mean, of course. I mean, that's the only people I like to talk to are people that want to talk to for 9 hours about a television show. Where can people find you?
I'm at the Krista Rosa on Instagram. And that's basically the only place that I post anything, if I even do post. But yeah, at the Krista Rosa on Instagram, I'm in the DMs. Like, message me about shows. I'm down to talk, down to chat. I love
it. Down to like, talk. Is that an acronym yet?
DTT.
DTT.
I'm down to like chat about shows. If people hear this and like it, I'm down to talk.
Can I make that on a t-shirt? DTT.
I'll do that when I come to your show. When I come to your show in November, I'm going to wear a shirt that says down to talk and I'm going to give you a touch one.
Thank you.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guest, Chris, and remind you guys to click subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Join the Facebook group. It's called Reality Life with Kate Casey, so you can talk about this episode and others. You can follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. My Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. My TikTok, follow me there, is at It's Kate Casey, especially because I put all of my must-watch lists up on those two. You can also get it in your inbox every Monday by going to katecasey.substack.com. Sign up for it because it is such an easy guide to what to watch each week in unscripted television. And let me tell you, there are some fantastic documentaries that are coming up in the next 2 weeks. And also, don't forget, I've got bonus episodes, extra episodes, if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/K Kate Casey, I hope that you have a great weekend, and I cannot wait to circle back with you next week.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.